His word this morning. For those on Zoom, I hope you have your Bibles handy. And for those who are here, please take out your Bibles with me as we would look to see what new things God will reveal to us. You know, during the Christmas season or any major holiday, Easter, Christmas, etc., we're always looking to find something new in the story. And if you think of all the Christmas messages you've had, you usually will find there's always something you never looked at before. And that's the marvel of God's word, that we can look at it, and every time we look at it, it's fresh, it's different. So I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we will look at the announcement of Christ's birth, and we want to look at verses 8 through 18, and please read along with me, and I may pause and tell you to underline certain things. That's why it's always good to have a Bible that you can underline. Sometimes the Lord may have you look at a particular word and you want to reference it. Luke 2, verse 8, now they were in the same country, shepherds, underline that, living out in the field. Keeping watch, underline that, over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Underline that. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Circle that verse. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go," underline that, "to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass," underline that, "which the Lord has made known to us." Circle that. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Circle that. Eternal God, our Father, as we look afresh into your word once more, we who are gathered here physically and on Zoom, we all need to hear afresh the wonderful message of your grace. And so through these verses that we have read, O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will take them and bring to each person what is needed, so that when we leave here, we who know you will spread the word abroad. And if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, they will surrender their hearts because of this great thing that has come to pass. Salvation is of you, O God. And so we all wait with bated and anticipated breath to hear from you this morning, for we pray our prayers, as always, in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christmas story from any angle is interesting. But we're going to look at the search of the shepherds. We're going to look at the search of the shepherds. We remember that the angels came to shepherds. Now, when you read something in the Bible, it's not by happenstance. They did not proclaim this to the keepers of the law who knew about the prophecy, paid no attention to the prophecy. And you could say, well, it's been 400 years. There was nothing heard from God. And so maybe they gave up. But they didn't come to them. They came to the shepherds. Now, there's a lot in there, and if we read it, we're going to miss it. Why? They are proclaiming the birth in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So guess what? They come to the shepherds because they are proclaiming about the good shepherd of the sheep, the one who gives his life for the sheep. They come to the shepherds because God once reminds us he's going to be the great shepherd, the one who will arise from the grave in resurrection. And then God is saying, don't forget, he's also the chief shepherd, which refers to his glorious second coming. So we need not marvel that God sent the angels to the shepherds, for in sending them to the shepherds, he was indicating the work of the Savior as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But there's something else. The shepherds, in seeking the Lord Shepherd and in worshiping him, were acknowledging the supremacy of the heavenly shepherd over the earthly shepherds. You see, there are many shepherds, but there's only one who's the chief shepherd. There are many shepherds, even in the church. Elders, or some people refer as pastors, are called shepherds. But there's only one good shepherd. There are many shepherds, but there's only one great shepherd. And all the others are subservient to the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. But there's also a paradox. Because the shepherds took care of what? The sheep. The earthly shepherds not only was looking for the heavenly shepherd, but they were also looking for the Lamb of God. You see, Christ was the Lamb of God, so these shepherds were looking for the heavenly Lamb. And that's what shepherds do, right? They take care of the sheep. So there's a paradox in that the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, also went like a lamb to the slaughter. And like a sheep standing before his shearers, he was dumb. You see the paradox? He's the only one who not only is the shepherd, but he's also the lamb. John seeing him say, behold, not the shepherd, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so the great biblical doctrine of substitution is exhibited here in striking symbolism. He was the shepherd who becomes the lamb. Okay? And he is the shepherd who was seeking the lost and then bore the sins of the lost to be forsaken of the Father. What a paradox. And we want to look at the shepherd's response to all this gloriousness in verse 15. They said, let us go. Why did they say, let us go? Well, they were keeping watch over the sheep. And after they heard the message, they said, we have to go and inquire about this. Now, suppose you were with the shepherds that night. Would you say, let us go? We sing the Christmas carols. We sing joy to the world. But how many people have actually gone? If you're here today and you're not saved, you may be singing all the joy to the world you can, but you haven't gone. You see, your response to the proclamation that unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, is to go. Why? Because Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So have you gone? Have you gone to him? The prodigal son said, I will arise and what? Go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against earth, and against you. And he rose and he went to his father. Have you gone and availed yourself of what the angels announce? A Savior is born. Because that's the only way you have peace and goodwill, you know. It's through the Savior. The proclamation is not only something we read about concerning his birth, but it's a proclamation aimed at us, because like the shepherds, have we said, let us go. But there's another word that was there I purposely left out because I wanted us to really focus on it. They didn't just simply say, let us go. You know what they said? Let us now go. Oh! There was no thought of delay. You ever ask your children to do something and they say, okay, mommy, yes, wash the dishes, okay. And an hour later you come back, it's not done. Didn't I tell you to wash it? Yeah, I'm going to do it. No, do it now. Why is that now word important? Well, now is always God's time. Do you know that? He has no past, he has no present, and he has no future. Everything with God is now. So that's why in 2 Corinthians 6:2 it says, behold what? Behold, now is the accepted time. Why? Because now is the only time that God knows. Not tomorrow. Okay? Behold, now is the day of salvation. From God's perspective, we live in an eternal now. We cannot climb over now. We cannot pass around now. We cannot crawl under now. We have no other time than now. So to say tomorrow, that's really a fool's word from God's perspective. James 4:13-14, what does it say? go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city, okay, and spend or continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Our life is but a vapor, which appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Okay? So, when we read that in James, you should be nervous if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. Because you don't have tomorrow to do it. And if you're saved, you don't have tomorrow to serve Him. Because James is saying, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a vapor. So, now is always God's time. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And if you're not coming at God's time, then when will you come? The scriptures say, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, you've got to follow Him now. So many young people think they have so much time, and then something happens in your life that changes your life forever. And you understand tomorrow is not promised to you no matter how old you are. And so now is always God's time. If you're not saved, you need to be saved now. Don't worry about straightening this up and straightening that up. You can't straighten yourself up enough for God to please Him. So come now. Some of us are stuck in what happened to us in the past or what we did in the past. Forget about all that. Come now. Let go of it now. Leave it at the cross now. I had a manager many years ago, and he had one of these plaques on his desk. And on it, it said, do it now. I had just started out, you know, working in corporate America. I said, what does that mean to you? He said, it means success in business when you do it now. You see, now is God's time. So they said, let us now go. Now remember, they were watching sheep. They were doing all this stuff. But they said, we've got to go now. And then they said something, even on to Bethlehem. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us go unto Bethlehem. They purposed in their heart to go all the way. There was no thought of stopping. They were not going to stop. They were going to keep going until they get to Bethlehem. Do you know some of us start off now, but then we stop? Some of us start off following God, and you stopped. You got caught up in the things of the world. They sidetrack you, whether it be careers, relationships, whatever it was, you started off on the now path, but you didn't go all the way. Remember the prodigal son, as I said before, he says, I will arise and go to my father. Did he fall short of his purpose? No. He went all the way, even if it meant, as he was going to tell the father, make me like a servant. Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You got to go all the way. You remember person said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but my daddy died. Let me go home and bury my father. And you know what Jesus said? To us, it sounds kind of harsh, right? Jesus, the loving Savior, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, he said to the man, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, you got to follow me now. But it was an interesting play on words, because his father, who is physically dead, what Jesus was referring to, let those who are spiritually dead, even though they're alive, bury your dad. Are you spiritually dead this morning? Because not only did you not go now, but you haven't come at all. Or are you a believer, but you have not entered into the joy of what the angels said, because you started off now, but you didn't go all the way to Bethlehem. You see, the angels singing and songs from heaven, that's a glorious sight. Oh, yes. But there was even a more fantastic experience waiting for them in Bethlehem that would supersede all of what they saw, all of what they saw, because why? Christ was there. In order to find Christ, you've got to go all the way. Do you know that? I think it was in Jeremiah where it says, you will find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. Paul wrote to the Galatians, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? They started and turned back, and they became entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Do you know it's better to never have known the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and go back? Like the children of Israel, oh, that we were back in Egypt. All we got is this manna. We had steak and potatoes in Egypt. Had morby, sorrel, ginger beer in Egypt. Yeah, but you were also a slave in Egypt. You forgot that. Let us now go even to Bethlehem. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint now. Like the many thorns which proved to be unfruitful because the cares of the life and the pleasures of the world choked them off, choked their growth. Many Christians fall by the wayside. But they also said something else. And see this thing that has come to pass. A great sight was to be found in Bethlehem. There in the manger was a Savior who was Christ the Lord. There in the manger was God manifest in the flesh. There in the manger was Emmanuel, God with us. We sing carols at home. We play Christmas music at home. But do we see the great thing which has come to pass? Do we see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy? A child is born, but an eternal son is given. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do we see him as such? Not only at Christmas, but guess what? All the rest of the days of the year. Because that's what it takes to see the great thing. Because you got to go all the way to Bethlehem. A lot of us like to carve out 1 hour on Sunday to see him. But you ain't going to see him. You can't see him. if you just carve out an hour. That's why Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says 24/7, it's all about Christ. It's all about him. Let us see this great thing. Guess what? Which has come to pass. What has come to pass? He's here, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then the shepherd says, this thing has come to pass. It's no longer a song. This is for real. It's here. It's one thing about the anticipation. It's one thing about it. Sometimes we say, oh, that will be heaven for me, right? It's nice singing about it, but it's even greater when we're there. That's why Paul says, you know, not only for me, but all those who love his appearing. You've got to want him to come. And these shepherds said, yes, he's here. Isaiah in the Spirit said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear his son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, guess what? That thing had come to pass. Emmanuel is here. Micah and the Holy Spirit wrote, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be small among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now that very statement had come to pass. So, as we look at them, let's mark three things. They came. They were obedient to the word of the angel. They put action into their conviction. They came to the place where they were told to come, to Bethlehem, to the city of David. Let us look for Christ where he is to be found. The woman sought for him in the sepulchre, but the angel said, why seek you the living? He's not to be found here, but is risen. Songs of Solomon, the Shulamite maid, drove the bridegroom away, and she ran out looking on the streets for him, but she couldn't find him. And then she remembered, I've got to go back to his garden. And when she went back, she found him. You see, today we don't find Jesus in the manger. Today we can't find him in the grave. Do you know that? He's now at the Father's right hand, exalted. Okay? A prince and a savior, mighty to save. Today, he has fulfilled his work and he has ascended back to heaven. Not only that, they came with haste. They were urged to hurry. They didn't want anything to happen before they arrived. Suppose blind Bartimaeus has stopped his cry for help when many told him to hold his peace. He never would have seen Christ. Why? Because Jesus, if you think about it, was actually passing through Jericho for the last time that day. They came and found Mary and the babe. The words spoken by the angels were sure and steadfast because they saw the evidence of that speech. How many of you have come and found the Savior? How many of you? I hope all of you have. And in finding him, how many of you have not only found him, but you're going with him all the way? Sometimes we sing what? All the way my Savior leads me? Is that true in your life? Is he leading you all the way? Or have you found him? Know that you needed him, but you have him like the spare tire in the car. You know, we don't think about that spare tire. If I said to all of you here, including myself, is your spare tire inflated to the right poundage so in case you have to use it and change a flat, you can? We never look at that spare tire. But when we have a flat, we expect it to be ready, put it on, so we could get to where we were going. Oh, I know now you got AAA and all of that. But I remember we were going up to Pine Bush, and there was a group of us in the SUV, and I couldn't get a signal because of where I was and all this stuff. And there was something in the road, and we had a flat. And I took out the spare. And I took it out, and I said, oh, my goodness, this spare is over 10 years old. I started praying. Let the rubber not be faded or messed up. And I took it out, and I'm about to change it, and this car pulled up. And the gentleman says, oh, you have a flat? And he had a repair kit, because I had a hole in the center of the tire. And you know those plugs? So he had a plug that he put in the actual tire. We took off the tire, he plugged the tire, and I put the tire on, and I didn't have to use the spare. Because you know, with the spare, you could only drive but so many miles an hour and do all this thing. And many of us treat Christ like that. He's there. But many times we only pray when something happens, right? Something happens and you want the whole church to pray for you. And meanwhile, Christ says, you know why? Because you haven't come with me all the way. So you don't know me. Because if you've been praying to me in the good times, if you've been praying to me every day, you would have, yes, you may ask the church, but you'd be on your knees before me first. They came with haste. They came and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Why? There was no room for him in the inn. Christ came into the world. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. The manger, symbol of easy access. If he had been laid in a jewel-studded cradle in the kingdom, no commoner could go in. But he was in the manger. Anyone could go in. He was in the manger with the cattle. It speaks of his humiliation. He humbled himself and came in fashion as a man, he who was God. He bent low to reach us. Can you imagine the Eternal One now limits himself to time? The Eternal One who is self-sufficient now limits himself to be satisfied externally. I thirst, he said. The Eternal One who fills the universe now limits himself to going from place to place to place. The Eternal One who says, I am from everlasting to everlasting in a way that we can't comprehend fully. Limits his life on the cross. He dies. He dies. The cradle, the cattle, He's mixing and mingling with humans, with animals. The Lord God of all creation gets low, seeking the lost to redeem us. So what is their response to this? And when he says, let us go to Bethlehem, see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. I thought it was the angels that told him. It was. I thought it was the heavenly host singing. They were. But they said, the Lord has made known to us. Why? Because God sent them. You see, sometimes we don't want to receive stuff because we don't realize the Lord has sent that person to you. So you may do something and someone says something to you that's biblically correct and you get all uptight and upset at that person. But if it's biblically correct, that means God sent them to tell you what he just said. They said, the Lord has made known to us. Also lets us know that everything is God. Your salvation is from God. Your grace is from God. Even your faith is from God. You can't enhance it. You can't grow it. You can only utilize it because when he gives it to you, he gives you the complete package. It's not more faith that you need. It's to utilize fully the faith that you have. You know, scientists say that how much of our brain do we use? Anyone know the percentage? 10%. 10%. They said if we were to use 100%, we basically wouldn't be speaking. We can do telepathy and all this other stuff that you see in sci-fi show. People don't even realize that. 10% of our brain. That's all we use. Even one whose IQ may be the highest in the world. Some may use a little bit more through training, etc. But you don't use 100%. I'm reminded of a funny story. A man went to the market to buy stuff and he saw brains for sale. And he saw men's brains, $1,000. Women's brains, $10. So he said to the guy, how come men's brains are $1,000 and women's are $10? And the guy says, because women's brains are used. The women should all be laughing because you know what that says about men. We don't use our brains. Okay, but in closing, watch this. As they end, verse 17, they returned rejoicing. Why? Because when you see the child, when you worship the child, it always leads to joy and rejoicing. When you worship Christ, when you see Christ, you will always have joy and rejoicing. They rejoiced because they had proved God and found him true. They had not been deceived. They really got the word from the angels was the word from God. And they were assured in their minds that the word of God was yea and amen. Because God's word is forever settled in heaven. And so whenever anyone tells you anything about anything, very simple test. See what it says in here. And you'll know whether or not it's a lie or a truth. They rejoiced because they had found the babe according to the word of the angel. And what they then said about the babe was true. They had found the Savior, who was Christ the Lord. They rejoiced because they realized that God's promise of goodwill to men had materialized. The child was born. they rejoiced and glorified God and shared with others, guess what? The good news. It ends, and they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Are you saved? Are you spreading the news widely to all so they can marvel at the great God that we serve? So in closing, let us think of the shepherd's search. Not only did they get the direction from heaven, but they went. Not only did they go, they went now. Not only did they go now, but they went all the way to Bethlehem. They went to the place where they were told to go. And when they went there, they proved the veracity of God's word, because they found the babe laying in the manger just as the angel said, in swaddling cloth or strips of cloth, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. My prayer is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you come to him now, that you surrender to him now. Because tomorrow is not promised to you. You could say, I feel good. I'm eating good. All that could be true. You may not be sick. But you might be driving in your car and something happens. See, it had nothing to do with how you felt. Tomorrow is not promised to everyone. Now, today is the day of salvation. And if you are saved, not only follow him all the way, but share it with others. Guess when? Now. For now is always God's time. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this time that we can review the birth of our Savior once again and glean the truths that you would have us glean. And you will deliver to each portion what is needed. You will give those who need meat, the meat of your word, those who need milk, the milk of your word, and those who don't know Christ, the convicting, saving power of your word through the Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, we thank you that we can look at your word once afresh, new. And we're so excited when we see new things revealed to us in your word. Simple things from our human perspective. You came to shepherds. The greater truth, because the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd had arrived. You came to shepherds, but the greater truth, the Lamb of God, had arrived. To save his people, we who all like sheep, who had gone astray from our sins. And so we thank you for your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we who know Christ as Savior will keep afresh what the birth of Christ actually means. The good news of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Why? Because the grace of God has appeared now unto all men. And for anyone who's here, O God, who doesn't know Christ as Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take your word as he always does and give them no rest, no peace, until they surrender their life to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.